produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Wednesday, February 27th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. You can make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. Join up with the dedicated, hardworking activists of your local chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws at normal.org. If there's no chapter in your area, you can start a chapter. Get five like-minded friends and you can begin the process of forming your own local Normal chapter. For more information, visit our website at norml.org. Now, I want to take a moment to thank all the people who have visited our blog at stash.normal.org. Not only will you find the expanded text and links for all of our daily hemp headlines, you will find the downloads for the full podcast and all of our PodSafe music, commentary from myself and other activists, and you can leave your comments for the whole cannabis community. It's news, it's commentary, it's music, it's the blog that only Normal can deliver, the Daily Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Also, if you have a product that you would like to market to the cannabis community, you can advertise on the Daily Audio Stash. Your ad will be focused on exactly the customer base you're seeking out, the thousands of responsible cannabis consumers who download and listen to this show. Our listeners are educated consumers who want to support the businesses that support the growing truth about cannabis, and we deliver the advertising freedom you won't find on radio, TV, or print ads. To advertise on the Daily Audio Stash, send us an email at stash@normal.org. Now, Wednesday is Cannabis Science Day on the Stash, and coming up after the news, we're separating the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Today we look at the recent data about cannabis and condom use. Are tokers more likely to engage in unsafe sex practices? Then Cannabis Carry has unearthed a singer-songwriter named Bleeding Hands performing his song High Times for our musical break today. So welcome to the show, sit back with your favorite strain, and enjoy your normal daily audio stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. New study claims Prozac does not work. Prozac, the best-selling antidepressant taken by 40 million people worldwide, does not work, and nor do similar drugs in the same class, according to a major review released today. The study examined all available data on the drugs, including results from clinical trials that the manufacturers chose not to publish at the time. Those trials compared the effects on patients taking the drugs with those given a placebo or sugar pill. When all the data was pulled together, it appeared that patients had improved, but those on placebo improved just as much as those on the drugs. The only exception is in the most severely depressed patients, according to the authors, Professor Irving Kirsch from the Department of Psychology at Hull University and colleagues in the U.S. and Canada. but that is probably because the placebo stopped working so well, they say, rather than the drugs having worked better. Quote, given these results, there seems little reason to prescribe antidepressant medication to any but the most severely depressed patients, unless alternative treatments have failed, says Kirsch. This study raises serious issues that need to be addressed surrounding drug licensing and how drug trial data is reported, end quote. Well, I can't. A pharmaceutical with huge markups and a great profit margin, pushed through by the drug companies and marketed to the hilt, and it doesn't work? I mean, how can that be? It has a Z in it, after all. This is the biggest drug fraud since the FDA-approved Vioxx was killing people. And, hey, it had an X in it. The FDA goes and allows all of these pharmaceutical drugs like Vioxx and Prozac, that Vioxx is killing people and Prozac isn't helping, and these companies make this huge profit on it, and they refuse to acknowledge the medical efficacy of cannabis. It's just insane. Once again, we see how big business interests are maintaining this pharmaceutical lobby's profit motives. And part of that is keeping the competition, marijuana, illegal. Medical marijuana in Illinois. For the first time in recent history, both chambers of the General Assembly will be considering medical marijuana legislation at the same time. Representative Angelo Saviano, Republican from River Grove, is the sponsor of House Bill 5938, and Senator John Cullerton, a Democrat from Chicago, is the sponsor of Senate Bill 2865. Both bills are known as the Alternative Treatment for Serious Diseases Causing Chronic Pain and Debilitating Conditions Act. This legislation would protect seriously ill patients with certain debilitating diseases from arrest for using medical marijuana. Qualifying conditions include cancer, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, hepatitis C, Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, agitations from Alzheimer's, and nail patella. The bills also cover the treatment of conditions involving cachexia or wasting syndrome, severe pain, severe nausea, seizures, including but not limited to those characteristic of epilepsy, or severe and persistent muscle spasms, including but not limited to those characteristic of multiple sclerosis. You can check our blog at stash.normal.org for the links to get involved in pushing those bills through in Illinois. And now kudos to Illinois for moving forward with the Alternative Treatment for Serious Diseases Causing Chronic Pain and Debilitating... Whew! That's a mouthful. How about we just call it the ATS-DCC-PDC Act? Too cryptic? Then what's wrong with calling it just the Medical Marijuana Act? Jeez, the contortions we got to go through to avoid saying marijuana, they're enough to give you chronic pain as it is. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm 100% in favor of the ATS-DCC-PDC Act. You can call it the Save Puppy Dogs and Orphans Act if that's what gets us another state to protect medical marijuana patients. Louisiana. Car fire in Kenner leads to 3 marijuana arrests. 3 New Orleans men made it easy for Kenner police to find their hidden drug stash, authorities said. The 3 men were arrested Saturday night when marijuana they hid in T-shirts and plastic garbage bags in their vehicle's engine started a fire, Kenner police said. Quote, from the heat of the engine, it caught on fire, end quote, Kenner Police Lieutenant Wayne McInnes said. Police officers responded to a call about a vehicle fire at 10:15 p.m., at a convenience store just off Interstate 10 at Loyola Drive, McInnes said. The men were hastily grabbing items from under the engine of a 2007 Dodge Caliber and throwing them in a garbage can, all the while trying to douse flames in the engine and the garbage can and pick up fallen marijuana. The officers could smell marijuana, McInnes said. They could also see loose marijuana in the engine, on the ground underneath the car, and in a trail leading from the gas pumps. In all, police found 1.8 pounds of marijuana, or 838.7 grams, which McInnes called a substantial amount. Usually we deal in ounces, we don't usually deal in pounds, he said. Okay, now, you know that I'm completely against arresting or harassing any adult for their personal responsible use of marijuana. And reading the story is kind of funny. Well, in a tragic way, because you can kind of picture these poor guys trying to save their beloved bud, cursing themselves, you know, stupid, 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 for hiding their stash in the engine, wrapped up in plastic and cotton, surrounded by oil and gas. But, you know, really, when you take another look at it, it's just another sad consequence of Prohibition. And another episode where 1% of the idiots who happen to smoke weed make the other 99% of us responsible smokers look bad. I suppose that fire started when they were on I-10? Great. Now you've got a flaming car on the freeway endangering others. These guys are idiots, to be certain, and idiots do idiotic things. But there would be no motivation for these idiots to have attempted smuggling and selling marijuana if there were no profit in it. If they could buy it at a liquor store and their customers could buy it at a liquor store, there'd be no market for Dodge Caliber engine bud, and they could go about their idiot lives doing other, hopefully safer, idiot things. Alleged pot candy makers appear ready to plead guilty. The owner of an Oakland marijuana candy factory and three other defendants are poised to enter guilty pleas in the case, according to federal court records filed today. Michael Martin, 33, of El Sobrante, was charged today with conspiracy to manufacture and distribute marijuana, a felony. Martin is the owner of Tainted Ink, which started as a boutique business that made chocolate truffles and grew into a large marijuana candy maker that bought chocolate by the ton, authorities said. Tainted employee Jessica Sanders was charged with illegally using a phone to distribute marijuana, a felony, while employees Michael Anderson and Diallo McLean were each charged with a misdemeanor count of marijuana possession. The four were charged in a document known as an information, which in federal court signals impending guilty pleas. Authorities said Tainted made candies with names that played off of popular legal treats, Buddafinga, Mr. Greenbud, Stoners, etc. The business also made other pot-laced items such as cookies, ice cream, peanut butter, granola bars, and barbecue sauce, according to the Drug Enforcement Administration. Well, once again, it's another one of those cases of selective reporting, because what the story doesn't tell you is that Tainted was selling its medicated edibles, as we like to call them here in Oregon, to medical marijuana dispensaries throughout California and in Seattle, Vancouver, British Columbia, and Amsterdam. Many patients can't smoke or vaporize because of their respiratory condition, and some patients need the convenience of having medicine available when smoking isn't possible. Of course, they don't mention it because that spoils the scare tactic of the marijuana-laced candy that will naturally inspire in well-meaning but uninformed parents. As if tainted candy was going to show up in the neighborhood 7-Eleven. Although, I gotta question the wisdom of giving the product's candy bar spoof names like Buddafinger and Stony Rancher, Rasta Reese's, and Keef Cat. Not exactly a swift PR move when you're trying to maintain that it's medical. On the other hand, why shouldn't patients be able to have a tasty treat to help the medicine go down? And now, a message from President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens and non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Normal Podcast.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. What better way than an easy-sounding folk song to ease us through a Wednesday? Bleeding Hands is the band name of Andy Bleeding Hands Hughes. Yep, one guy can a band make if you're this Londoner with a penchant for heartfelt lyrics and an electric guitar. If you enjoy your buzz in a coffee bar watching a singer with a guitar and a mic, then the melancholy High Times is your cup of joe. Now, I really like the mix of folk with an electric guitar, and even better, I'd love to hear this song around a campfire with some friends singing along. Enjoy today's music hit, High Times, and check out more information about the artist at music.podshow.com. Of course, you can download this song at our blog, stash.normal.org. This is Andy Bleeding Hands Hughes and his song, High Times.
Demons fighting in your head. So can you hear him now? Are you dead? You misinterpret things I said. Think I'll spend the day in bed. High times, high times. World keeps turning night and day. Clock keeps ticking. Keeps turning night and day. Clock keeps ticking time away. Hard times, hard times.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML. Or visit their website at norml.org.
All right, like we like to do every Wednesday, we get it behind the science of cannabis and the latest studies that are floating around out there amongst all the scientists and researchers studying marijuana. And we do so with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to The Stash.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you sent me along this link that I thought was quite interesting, a study that had just been published here, and it was about alcohol, drugs, and condom use among drug offenders. Talk a little bit about what this study is covering.
Oh, Russ, this is an interesting idea because, as we all know, marijuana's impact on sex is pretty legendary. And unfortunately, a number of folks have misinterpreted that as some kind of sign that maybe people who were using marijuana would be unwilling or unable to use condoms. And, you know, given the link between condom use and HIV and AIDS, we really want to make sure that nobody's getting impaired in some kind of way that would make a problem for them. As it turns out, a couple of studies in the past have said, oh, gee, folks who drink alcohol or use marijuana tend to use condoms less frequently. And unfortunately, these were done in an inappropriate way. They just asked in general, do you use these things and do you use condoms? And it really kind of masked the issue at hand. So these new researchers, Barbara Lee, Susan Ames, and Alan Stacey, all looked at the individual events and said, okay, yeah, it's fine if you use these drugs or if you use condoms, but does it actually happen at the same time?
Hmm.
And it's funny how long the research went before people actually got down to the nitty-gritty of, okay, this time when you had sex, did you smoke pot first? And a lot of times it didn't pan out, so it didn't look like marijuana was leading to a decrease in condom use, particularly if you looked at this event-based analysis. And then folks were saying, well, it's not the right people. You need to get the folks who are really drug-involved, and, oh, marijuana is so dangerous. And so here we have a sample of folks who are already in trouble for drug offenses.
Hmm.
Surely if there was a link between marijuana and unsafe sex, it would show up for them. And we've got literally over 300 people in this study, and there is no link. And I find this, you know, reassuring for everyone who's concerned about marijuana use and unsafe sex more generally. But also, you know, it really points out that even during intoxication, people are capable of, you know, wonderful, competent behaviors regardless of their recent use of marijuana. And even among folks who are, you know, in trouble for drug-related offenses, there isn't this link between marijuana and unsafe sex. So the idea that somehow this is some rationale for arresting marijuana users really goes out the window.
Well, yet another reason that's been proven to be false here. So in looking at this study, it seemed like they had a lot of research backing this up. And, the first thing that it made me think was, wow, there's a lot of people studying sex and drugs out there. But the second thing was there any results in the study with the other drugs or alcohol use that was different from, say, the marijuana results?
In fact, it is the case, even in this sample, the link between alcohol and unsafe sex was not present, although that's been mixed in a number of different findings. And as scary as it is, amphetamines, both smoked or injected, were associated with decreased condom use. Obviously, you know, the stimulants can be very, very impairing and troublesome, but it also may say something about the folks who choose to smoke or inject amphetamines may be, shall we say, having a different attitude about life in general.
Yeah.
And so it shows up in their condom use rather than, oh, amphetamines make you incapable or unwilling. It may be just these are the folks who are unwilling in the first place and who also happen to like these drugs.
Well, that opens up another question you could look at is to whether or not it's just the nature of people that are in trouble for drug offenses would naturally be people who are more prone to risk-taking behaviors. How do they take those kind of factors into account?
In fact, I feel like that's the key issue. And if that were the case, we might have seen a link between marijuana use and condom use generally, but not at the individual event level. But here we don't even see it at all. And I find that reassuring. So it's not that even marijuana users are the type of person, if you will, who don't value this behavior. And I just, you know, want to point out, as we've seen time and again, folks who use cannabis come from all different lifestyles with different priorities, and it's not any certain stereotype that's always correct.
Certainly. And again, this study is on the people who had already been in trouble for drug offenses, but they feel pretty confident being able to extrapolate that out to the general population as well.
In fact, different work has been done with folks who aren't in trouble for drugs, and the results have been mixed, but generally marijuana use has not been correlated with failing to use a condom at the individual event level. And that's the key, is if you're high at the time, does that translate into not using a condom? And it doesn't seem to be the case. Obviously, I don't want to give anybody the impression that, you know, somehow marijuana is a condom-using aid or anything like that, but I do want to reassure folks, particularly prohibitionists, that this is not a rationale for 800,000 arrests in a year.
Absolutely, and we get no more of those the commercials that bring up the scare tactic of the teenagers who are more likely going to get pregnant. They smoke the joint and they get pregnant immediately. So it's the lack of the condom that causes the pregnancy, not the marijuana.
And in fact, those those commercials have done a lot for my individual classes on drugs and human behavior, because people really laugh at those, and I don't hear the sob stories about that you would expect. It's just another way to kind of whip parents into a frenzy if they do discover cannabis in their teens. And, you know, what a nice segue for me to mention that, you know, the Parents Guide to Marijuana, which should be out at the end of the month, talks about reasons why teens shouldn't use cannabis, but this certainly is not one of them.
Yes, everybody should be aware. Dr. Earlywine's book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana, is coming out. And what's the date that it drops exactly?
It should be out on February 28th.
Oh, excellent. So Thursday this week. Check that out. It'll be on Amazon.com, I'm sure, and probably available at local fine booksellers everywhere. So we've been speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's the Associate Professor of Psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. Always joins us here on Wednesday here at the Stash. And, we've put out one of those prohibitionist fires. I'm sure we'll have another one for you within the next week or so.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from the Christian Century newspaper back in 1938. Quote, "In some districts, inhabited by Latin Americans, Filipinos, Spaniards, and Negroes, half the violent crimes are attributed to marijuana craze. Dr. Lee Rice of San Antonio reports that 80% of all the murders committed by Mexicans are done while the killers are drugged by marijuana." End quote. Just more of that reefer madness. It goes all the way back to 70 years ago. We'll see you tomorrow as we continue to fight to end adult marijuana prohibition.